are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Hello. I'm having a few technical issues today. We had a pre-record this afternoon for Rebecca Jernigan and myself, recording a show for this evening, and the guest was absolutely fascinating, but we've had so many internet problems. I mean, at the beginning of the show, I was in the middle of a thunderstorm, great bolt of lightning, kaboom, out went my internet. I am assuming that everyone can hear me and that I'm coming across okay. All the lights seem to be working. I'm recording this end as well, so that's good if anything happens to the line. And then Skype just crashed as I tried, just as the show started, all these pop-up came up and debugs and Skype just died on me. So sorry about that. Thank you very much, Mike, for covering it. You're a good man, you know the score. So, thank you very much, and tonight my topic is Egypt. We have a very special guest this evening. Rebecca just recorded this show. I was doing the engineering for it, I was doing the recording, so we had a gentleman by the name of Jerry Cannon. It's a most fascinating story. If you can, tune in to Wolf Spirit Radio tonight at 7 p.m. PST for a special extended Journeys with Rebecca. We've got an extra hour and a bit where Jerry will expound this very long and very synchronous, plenty of synchronicities, very magical story that he's been putting out. That he's been experiencing. So without any ado, I'm going to add Rebecca to our conference and see if we can get hold of her. She just ran away for a bite to eat in the middle of this. We've been at this for 4 hours now. So,
hello!
Hello! How are you?
I have a little sustenance in me. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just got to eat something. yeah. So, you know, I really did cram food in my face, but my poor old stomach, you know, it was hurting a bit.
Oh.
Was that, like, fantastic or what, though?
Yeah. But apparently you're supposed to chew it before you swallow it, but anyway.
I was supposed to, but that didn't happen so much.
I have to say that while you were doing the last hour, I was preparing a meal for my housemate, and it's ready now, and he's eating it, but it kind of burnt a little bit because I was so fascinated with the last bit that suddenly I smelt that familiar smell. You know, you get a steamer, and we steam our vegetables, and so the steamer boiled dry. I put a good inch and a quarter of water in it, but I managed to boil it dry. So there's a bit of a drama. But anyway, welcome to Journeys, Rebecca Jernigan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Really, thank you. We had quite a little bit of trials and tribulations before we started today as well. We like I said, been at this for 4 hours. I actually started an hour early before you did. So wow. I've been sitting in my chair here now for 5 hours.
Oh.
yeah, 5 hours sitting in the hot seat, man.
Yeah.
Sitting in the hot seat, yeah. And boy, did it warm up today with that information, did it not?
Heat. I mean, it's the one of the fascinating things is when he was, you know, obviously Jerry's got a bit of psychic energy there going.
You're thinking? Oh, my goodness. Of course, we'll address some of that here in a minute.
Yeah, and this very interesting thing, you know, when he found the spot that his finger got hot.
Yeah.
And this other woman pointed to the map, and her finger got hot, you know, and that's like, that's a real hot spot, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, so therefore, there is the information of how that term got coined, eh?
Yeah, that could be well connected. So, you go. You start.
Well, here's the deal. I just got done with a very, as JP was saying, a very lengthy conversation with a gentleman by the name of Jerry Cannon. He has had a 20-year trek or journey in search of the Ark of the Covenant. The most fascinating thing about this story is that Jerry is now 77 years old, so his journey did not begin in the search of this until he was in his 50s, which I find that, again, very fascinating. He's had a lot of paranormal experiences. He's had a lot of psychic experiences. He's been very open. And yet when you listen to Jerry talk, he'll say, well, I don't know how they do this. I don't know how they do this, but this is the information I got. I don't know what this is about, but this is the way it is. And I'm looking at this whole unfoldment of his life, the last 20 years of his life, and the series of extraordinary, extraordinary events that took place in this human's life. And the most substantial thing for me when I look at what he has walked through is he did this in such a way that was so pure, so honest, even though he doesn't understand or didn't understand any of what was going on. He still followed the pieces of information as they were given to him. Even though he was a skeptic on many levels, he wasn't one of those skeptics that says, well, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. He was just like, well, that's interesting information. And his life just kept going forward. He was just picking up. It was like he's just walking through and picking up these pieces and putting them into the bag. The bag of his, I guess you want to call it maybe the purpose, right, of why he's here. Right?
Yeah.
I think that would be a good way of saying that. So he put all these pieces in this bag along this journey of his life, and it was very circuitous, by the way. There was nothing straight-lined about any of his timeline, I'll tell you that. Nothing at all. From one point to another, and how one person would show up, and another messenger would show up, and a helpmate would show up. All these things that, you know, we've been talking about for all these years. And he has been the receivership of all of these types of people that have come into his life, his time space, to assist him in this portion of the goal, to attain and reach the goal. And I have to tell you, he's divinely touched, I guess is a good way of saying that, divinely hooked up. And he does it from such a pure, organic way. It's amazing. This man is amazing to me in that he just keeps putting one foot in front of the other in all these amazing events. And he doesn't look at him as so amazing as this is part of what he's supposed to be doing as well on some level. Does that make sense? You were there.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole thing, you know, like you say, he's delightful. And it's like he's a one-man double-blind study. You know, like he's not aware of the conscious links, and almost like he doesn't go there. He doesn't
right.
He doesn't try to front load himself by trying to figure out what's going on. You know, he's just dealing with what he's presented with, which is, you know, it's just absolutely very, it's a very scientific method that is kind of almost natural.
That's being organic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's just literally in the sink and flow of his life. And he just keeps going forward. like one step leads to another and one step leads to another. And it's whatever these series of events, they're very well organized for him.
Yeah.
And he just steps into them with this, you know, innocence, in a sense.
Yes, in a sense.
Yeah, in a sense.
In very a sense.
Yeah, in a sense. Absolutely, absolutely. I love it, I love it. Well, and I suppose what I need to do is let everyone know that this this interview will be aired tonight during my normal time slot from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. And it's heard on wolfspiritradio.com. Unfortunately, I'm not on Freedom Slips on Tuesday nights, but the archive of it will be up as available on Wolf Spirit after the show tonight. There'll also be some additional information as well going on with this because it was so long, because the interview itself was so long. We ended up turning part of it in, or part of it will be end up being a podcast. The second part of that will be available on my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, to listen to the last pieces of information, and it's extremely detailed.
Yeah.
This man's 20 years of his life has been written and documented. He's got a recall unlike anybody I've ever seen before, and it wasn't. Before I jump off another tangent here. So you will be able to listen to the entirety of it in the podcast once it's done. The link, again, will be found on my website. I'll be posting it right to the front page, as well as on the JWR Radio tab. There'll also be, so it'll be on two places, two spots on my website, the second portion of that, in a podcast. Even if you, as an individual listening to this, even if you are not aligned with or you don't seem very connected with what's going on in Egypt, this man's story in and of itself is inspiring regardless of that we're talking about Egypt or the Ark of the Covenant or any of that. He could be, you know, talking about, you know, finding, you know, a needle in the haystack. His story is still that compelling, in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it is a story of synchronicities, of divine connections. You know, he's talking about these random people that suddenly say something very, very significant to him, and going to psychics, and, you know, I like the one where he goes to the psychic, he talks, and she does his wife, and he thinks, oh, that's not so much. And then the psychic says, oh, hang on a second, I need to read for you, and you don't have to pay.
Yeah, because that's what he's saying. He's like, well, I'm not paying her another $25. You know, that's, I'm not doing that. Yeah, that was actually really funny.
Yeah.
His story is, too, a lot about some very humorous moments that he's had along the way in regards to, you know, he's thinking these things and these people are saying stuff. And here was what I also got from some of the psychics. Mm. Some of the psychics did not realize that they were some of the pieces, the carriers of the pieces of information. You know, we've talked about that before. I believe that we're all carriers and we all carry different pieces of the puzzle, yes?
Mm.
And in this case, all of these people that came into this man's life, and some of them still are in his life, they're all carriers of the piece of the puzzle. And I will tell you, some of them have no idea that they were the messenger. Listen, I have a message, and I don't know where the message come from. Maybe it's not even the way they normally work. Maybe it's not even the way they perceive things. But they get these messages, and they are compelled to share it with the individual that they have to share it with.
Mm.
That's happened to me a few times. Not a lot, but a few times it's happened to me where I've met somebody, and they're you know, getting ready to leave or whatever, and say, I'm sorry, I've got a message. I have to give it to you. And it makes no sense to me at all, right? Makes none. But you share it anyway, and you watch the people, they go, oh, my God. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And you have no idea where the information comes from because it's not the quote-unquote traditional or the normal or the expected source. It just seems to be there.
Yeah.
And that's the most amazing point, is that all of these people, you know, we really are all here on a connected journey, and it's about the evolution, right, of the soul and the spirit of humanity, and what is the purpose behind all of this. And this man's story is just amazingly divine.
Absolutely. It's odd. You know, you've got this radio show, and you've even got a name that sounds like a journey, you know. It's all about a journey, and the journey of going through discovering who you are. And the story's not over yet. You know, there is plenty more that you will discover about yourself. And I'm, you know, just want to say, you know, I'm really grateful to be part of it.
For real.
And here's another interesting little snippet, right?
Oh, we got tons.
Somebody that he has recently hooked up with. Now, I asked him about this at the end, and you know, through various of his connections with, I think it's UNESCO, he's come up with a connection with this guy, and guess who he turns out to be?
I don't know who.
My son's godfather.
Oh, this world is getting smaller.
Very, very small. I mean, it's the first thing he said to me when we first spoke a few days ago. He said, do you know this, you know, you might have heard of this guy, and he gives me his name, and I said, yeah, not half. I actually forgot that he was my son's godfather. I mean, he's a friend of my ex-wife's sister, right? So I could say my sister-in-law. And they're like soul buddies, you know, they're really, really close. They've never had a relationship, but they've always been greatest of friends. And so, you know, he's like a kind of part of my family in an odd way. And he lives in, get this, he lives in a castle in the south of Scotland.
Oh, my.
It's not his castle. He's just a poor little academic, but he knows so many people. And one of these people had a castle. He lives abroad. He said, do you want to stay in it? So that's where he is.
Oh, that's just awful, isn't it? That's just awful, isn't it? That's just awful.
Poor man.
Yeah, bless his heart. Yeah. What a challenge, eh? Yeah, you got to love that.
Can you hear the weed whacker out there?
I hear nothing.
All right, yeah.
But I think my ears are actually burnt out from, you know, 4.5 hours on with the headsets on. But, you know, it could just be me. I don't know.
All right, well, it's all right.
No, it's all good. It really is. It's all good.
My housemate finished the meal that we made and is now making a big path through the weeds with the weed whacker.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. We all have to do what we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to just take a few more minutes here, JP, and kind of give a quick synopsis of what people are going to be listening to tonight.
That's no problem. We've got 45 minutes to chat about this, so just take it.
And this man's conversation in the first hour, it's a getting to know process with him. It's really understanding who he is. He's extremely thorough in setting up the scenario of the divine processes that he has went through. I mean, on some level, he absolutely knows what's going on, but that isn't his driving force. That's the most interesting thing. The driving force is a puzzle that has to be solved. It is a mission that he's on that has to be completed. Even if he doesn't know what the outcome is, he knows this is what he's supposed to be doing. So in the first hour, he gives this extreme information about, detailed information about how, where he come from, what he used to do, kind of what his life was like. You know, he's what most people would consider an average person, right? Just a regular Joe kind of a guy.
And then
it starts moving into a whole nother direction after that. There's a series of events, triggering mechanisms, and divine interventions, and messages and signs, and it becomes where his life has really become this most magical journey in regards to the quest for the Ark of the Covenant. Now, here's the most interesting thing. He wasn't on a quest to look for the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't even know what it was about. Not really. Until he started doing his own research once he got the first message. Right? I mean, we've all heard about it. Like, you know, he talked about the Indiana Jones movie. And so, you know, I'd like to share a little bit of my insight with some of this.
Yes,
you know, he
please.
Talked, he, and I'm not going to spoil it because you have to listen to the last part of the show. Because this is where he talks about the Ark of the Covenant itself and as to why it hasn't been found. And how it just kind of went into a level of obscurity.
Yes.
So as he's sharing this, it triggered some visions that I've had from the past. And actually, during the course of the entire show with him, I was actually in this kind of altered state. And, you know, he kept going, "Are you there?" I would be, "Yes, yes, yes, I'm still here. I'm sitting here," you know. I'm like on this journey with him, right?
Yeah.
So once I'm on the journey with him, I'm in a different, I'm kind of in an altered state.
Yeah, so I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew I had to have you on the show. It was a good thing, it was free tonight, so we can put this out because it's nice and fresh in your mind. So go ahead, Rebecca.
So as I'm sitting here, I realized that I had you know, and I've had different snippets of different visions, but for the purpose of this conversation, I'm going to be talking about the information in just the realm of what we call Egypt at this point. So the visions are, many, many years ago, I was given this information, and although it doesn't seem so extraordinary now because everybody's been talking about it, about uncovering that which has been hidden, right? Now, it's not about conspiracy theories or any of that. In these visions, there was a series of them that went on for several years, actually, in which they're talking about the layers and levels of civilizations, what they called artifacts, what they called devices, what they called places of sacred power that were shown to me. Now, I'm never on top of the land, you see, looking at this. That's the interesting thing. I'm always inside of it as if you've taken the earth and you cut it, right? And now you could see what's in there, right? So it's kind of like I'm in there at that from that viewpoint. And I'm not sure if that makes sense how I'm wording that, but I'm going to try. I'm going to keep going forward here.
Okay.
So I'm literally in this cutout, so to speak, and I'm walking how many miles below the earth in a spot. And all I get is a sense impression of where I might be. Because, again, I'm not on top of the earth, so I have nothing to reference it from, right? I'm in the ground,
yeah.
And I'm walking around, and I'm looking at things, and I'm looking at different points of Egypt. And, again, I don't have this great draw to Egypt in these visions. I'm just being shown information, right? So I'm looking, and the one thing that I do see is I see things many, many layers below that which is above. I mean, I can look up. It's as if I'm looking up and I go, yeah, that actually sits on top of the ground where it can be viewed by those who are looking at it. All the rest of this is not. And as I'm walking through there, there are miles and miles and miles, hundreds of thousands of miles, who knows? You know, I have no orientation in the space of different roads leading to different areas of Egypt, huge, vast amounts of civilizations, in other words, peoples, right? Entities walking around, different, we would call them artifacts of, you might call them jewelry pieces, but some of them are what I used to term in those days as magical. In other words, they do something. Right? They, by holding it, by activating it, well, that's a term we use now, activating it, it becomes something different than a pretty bauble. So as I'm looking around, I'm following this looks like a caravan, and I don't really understand this caravan, and I'm seeing it stop. And at that point, the vision kind of blurs. It's like a sandstorm comes up, so to speak, and now I'm not able to see it at all. But I know it's still there. And if I could, you know, have went up, silly me, I didn't think about going up to see, well, where would I be orientation-wise, right, on top of the Earth. So when he was talking to me, I was like, ah, that was the arc that they were talking about. That's what the arc was that they were showing me. And that's why it went into obscurity. Because people said, oh, well, you know, the arc's here and the arc's there. And I'm like, no, no, it's not. And not that I had a longitude, latitude thing. I did not get anything near, like, what he did. What I got was the information that it was in obscurity. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist, right? Also that there was... He says that there's two sphinxes, and what they have shared with me is that there's actually three and a potential of maybe even more that may yet be discovered there. These sphinxes had, they were left there, they were imbued, as it were, with an energy force that was supposed to be kind of protectors, watchers, as it were, over certain parts for certain reasons. This is, you know, this is old ancient stuff. This is way... way older than, you know, history almost, so to speak, as to what the purpose was. And of course the purpose was changed because there were changes that happened within the hierarchy, shall we say, of those that were kind of in the positions of authority, as well as the earth changes as well that took place. And so some of what was presented in the Egyptian deserts, and at that time they weren't, they were abandoned. That's why we're able to find so much physical evidence of what's going on. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, I'm going to bring somebody else into the mix here, and that's Michael Tellinger's work. Michael Tellinger's work talks about, the whole thing down there of what's going on, and for me, these are pre-Egyptian things that Michael Tellinger is talking about. But if you do an energy sweep from where Michael Tellinger is in the south part of it, going all the way up into the north part, which is where we consider Egypt to be, there is a huge connection. There is no delineation there. That the original settlers, so to speak, the original civilization, they call it the cradle of humanity, is where Michael Tellinger's work is, which is in the south part of the continent. In the north part of it is where our most recent modern history kind of comes into play, so to speak, which is what we call Egypt. But the landscaping was very different. And if you do an energy sweep from where Michael Tellinger is up to where the now known as the pyramids, etc., and so forth, you will discover that there is the same similar energy form there, and it is made from same similar races, civilizations, entities, whatever you want to call it. So they tried this quote-unquote experiment several times, and they've tried it more than that, but that's in what we can actually see in the here and the now. So underneath Egypt right now, there lies more civilization, more, you know, just like he's talking about, how many millions of square miles of desert is there? There is so much underneath the sands.
Exactly.
That we wouldn't have enough people to excavate it all.
Exactly. And then, right, when we're talking about the period of time where there were these ancient civilizations, it wasn't a desert. It was fertile. You know, they talk about the cypress trees of Lebanon and all of this stuff, don't they?
Mm.
You know, it wasn't a hot, dry, it was a green and verdant land. You know, climate changes. We've seen that. We can see that now. So... a lot of things, you know, when you know, maybe there's forest fires, maybe there was a time when the sun was a little hotter and fried everything, as you're seeing in America right now.
Yeah, my,
you know, how much of America is going to become a desert?
Right.
Because of this current energy system that you've got running just now.
Right.
You know?
And the alignment. We talked about the orientation as well. Yeah. The planet is being reoriented literally. And I'm not talking about a shift here. It's just the way that it actually moves through space it orients different in the sky, which will bring a change in climate for real.
Yeah, well, and already the Inuit of the very north part of America have been talking that their winter is, instead of 1 hour long, as it has been in their traditions, it's now 2 hours long, which means the pole
shifted.
Yeah, the axis of the pole. There's three poles, right? I know I go on about this a bit, but there are three poles. There's the axis pole, which is like if you put a stick through the earth, where it points to is the in the south, the Southern Cross, and in the north, the Polaris Star. And then there's the magnetic pole, which is the magnetic field of whatever is under the surface of this planet. And that is shifting, and that's scooting around at about 40 miles a year. That's an incredible rate on geological situations. And then you've also got the geographic North Pole, which is apparently where there's a great big hole that NASA has been trying to cover up. And and so the alignment of the first and the third is what we're talking about. We're talking about the North Geographic Pole and how that lines up with the stars is shifting. And I live quite north. I live in 57 degrees north, near the Arctic Circle, up here in northern Scotland. And I look at, when I first arrived here in 1998, I used to look at the Polaris, because you can see the stars here. It's fantastic. You see the stars at night. And I got to know it. And since then, I can definitely feel that there's been a shift in the place where the pole star is.
Yes, and agree.
And I also feel that if you were to take a camera and film it all night, instead of everything rotating around the pole star, you'll see the pole star going around in a little circle. Mm. And I don't know any research or any publicized research about that, whether that's true or not, but that's what I feel.
Yeah, publicized research is the term they would like for you to use in regards to that. So,
if anybody has any information in Revolution Radio or anything like that, tell me if I'm wrong.
Right.
Let me know. Do go on, Rebecca.
So let's get back to the vision. The vision of it went into a space of obscurity. Now, again, a series of visions, and this I'm specifically speaking about the area of Egypt.
Yeah.
Because there were other geological and geographical, rather, areas. But because of the interview that I just got through with. So as the information came through, the questions that I had were, so why is it that you're showing me these things? What is the point behind it? That kind of a thing. The information I got was is that, and again, we're hearing all of this information now, so people, will have to just take this with however they want to take it, that everything that has been covered will become uncovered so that the truth will be known about who we are, where we come from, why things have been covered up. But nothing can be revealed until it is time for the great revealing. And the great revealing is coming upon us. Now, interestingly enough, I believe that there are certain sacred places, and I'm going to call these sacred places, around the globe, that it doesn't matter who shows up there, even if they know something is there, that they're not going to be able to access it or to get to it because they're not in alignment energetically or spiritually or vibrationally in order to be able to access some of the sacred pieces that have been left behind for humanity. Just like the Ark of the Covenant. All these years, you think that somebody could have discovered it or would have discovered it, yes? It didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so that goes to that point of, all those years ago, 20-some years ago, when they were giving me this information, well, how come we can't see it now? Why can't we just go and dig this out or, look at this? Because it's not time. And, of course, I didn't understand all about it exactly, right, you know, what do they say? Hindsight's 20/20, right? Perfect vision. Yeah. And you look at it, because it doesn't make total sense, especially the way that the view was given to me. And so I'm looking at this, I'm like, well, absolutely, because as we see the world in the state of control, manipulation, greed, and power, and la 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 that's going on, there's been enough of it that has been taken away from humanity. And that is our sovereign right, is the right to these artifacts, these devices, this information, this higher-minded knowledge and energies to all of humanity who is willing to accept it with the open heart and love, and it to be shared and not to be sequestered by those who think it belongs to someone.
Mm.
Right? To an individual, a group, an organization.
Yes.
And so, try as you might, you would not be able to access some of it, because it depends on where you're at vibrationally, energetically, where your soul vibration, so to speak, is at. So I'm excited for this, because I think with some of the other discoveries, by the way, that's not the only discovery, is the Ark of Covenant that's yet to be uncovered in that general vicinity.
Oh yeah, there's mm-hmm. so much revealed in this interview tonight. I'm just so stoked about it.
Ooh, it's something else, let me tell you.
But we're not going to say anything.
But in it is the understanding of, especially those that are seekers, right? And many that are listening here today and will be listening to the show tonight are seekers of what vibrates, what resonates with them. Really, how does all this fit into the grander scheme of our purpose or whatever here? When these things come to pass, when the greater majority of people, not the minority, which is the ones that we talked about were the ones that were, you know, control and manipulating, the majority is the humanity that says, we're all in this together, somehow we'll make this work, we'll get through it, we'll go forward, and we're bringing in a new paradigm, a new shift of consciousness. And when some of these discoveries are made, it is going to be mind-blowing to people what it is that we are really capable of, what really is available to us. It's just the most fascinating time ever to be incarnate on this planet. It's just amazing to me.
Well, you know, this is like, if there was ever going to be like a team of psychic psychonauts who need to incarnate on a planet, then the kind of plan that you'd do is like you would parachute in, as it were, into a body. Incarnate, and then you'd make sure that there was a mass communication system such as the internet, and you'd make sure that something like Skype existed, and you get what I'm saying, that we're all part of a big team that is creating this event to happen, but through us, not by us, us. So I find it, these are, there you go, bare flesh, the us beings standing and walking around on the surface of the planet don't really know exactly what we're supposed to be doing, because our lives are being created around us by our higher selves, these more kind of psychic realm, astral realm, etheric realm, monadic realm, wherever you think we might come from, to create this event to happen. Did that make sense?
It did. So let me share with you the level of synchronicity that fell into place with Mr. Cannon.
Oh yeah.
So because there's the kind of the recent past here. I was contacted by Jerry Cannon via email, and he had sent me a copy of part of his manuscript, which will be his book. He talks about that in the interview. And he sent me a link to his website. And here's where I have a hard time kind of describing this to individuals. So I think I'll just share this out loud with people. So I get emails, and I'm sitting every day with, many, many requests. Here's a book, here's a concept, here's this. If you'd be willing to do an interview, this is the information I'd like to share with your audience. So I get this piece of information, and I open up the website, I follow the link and I open up the website. I read about the first two or three sentences, and all I know is I have to have him on. And I shut it down. I don't read anymore. And that's just the way it works for me. That's just always the way it works for me. And a lot of my guests get really, really frustrated because they say, did you read this? Did you watch that? Did you do this? No, I don't need to. This is part of a discovery with me as well. You know, I just want to be as organic as I can be. So it's very, very rare that I actually go in and do research on what somebody has to say. All I know is that I'm given the information, hey, you got to have this person on. Okay, so it is. So I write him back. So I said, but before I wrote him back, now here's where the divine stuff starts coming in. And I'm going to back the story up just a little bit, because at the beginning of the year, you and I talked about a couple of things around Egypt. We said, wouldn't it be great if we all could meet in Egypt around December 21st, 2012? Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun?
And so you and I are talking, and we're just laughing away, you know, thinking just like little humans that we are. And we're saying, oh, that would be wonderful. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Oh, my gosh, we'd give each other hugs in person. And this wonderful idea, right? And so we're connected in the moment, and you get excited about it, and I get excited about it. I'm thinking, wow, you know, that'd be great. And so it just sits out there, like I said, on my shelf. I call that my shelf. It sits out on my shelf. And then I get this email. I open up the email. I close it down. I still don't write to him. I get another phone call in just a few, within a day of receiving this gentleman's email about he wants to be on my show about the Art Quest. And it's Carrie Cassidy. She says, I'm doing a tour in Egypt on December 21st, 2012, and I'd like you to come along and be one of the speakers.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I went, huh, wow, talk about some synchronicity. I said, without hesitation, absolutely, sign me up. I'll be there. So here we are, right?
Yep.
I've got this gentleman. I write him back, and I start talking to him. He gets on the phone, and we start Skyping each other. We have this wonderful conversation that took place way before this interview. And we're talking about a lot of different things, by the way, he did not share on the radio, just like he had conversation with you that he did not share on the radio.
Indeed.
And for whatever reason, and I've done some research on this. I've done some internal research, not physical, let's read books kind of research. But I'm checking in with myself. You know, I talk about that a lot. I sit with this, and I go, now, really, what am I supposed to be doing there, you know? What's my alignment with all this? What is this to be there? And I'm going to tell you, I know this is going to sound very cryptic because it just feels like I'm not supposed to say it exactly the way that it's coming across to me, so I know I need some adjusting yet with how I would present it. All I know is that there are certain people that will be there that will be the catalyst, if nothing else, just by their presence of being in Egypt for some kind of transition, whether it's going to be physically felt, energetically felt, if it's even going to be felt at all, is really not even the point. The point is just by the very act of certain people being there at a certain time is some kind of a catalyst for something.
Yep.
We don't know what that something is yet entirely, but somehow it's tied in with Jerry. I don't know how that all fits. That doesn't mean, so let's make sure everyone's out of the box here. Everyone get out of the box. Yeah. That doesn't mean that Jerry's going to find the Ark of the Covenant on or before or after. Doesn't mean that at all. It does mean that there is some kind of a shifting catalyst. It's like, I don't know how it's going to present itself. I have all these little potentials sitting in front of me, and I'm going, wow, if even that one or a piece of that one happens, woo-woo, right?
Well, look, Rebecca, you know me. I record everything. You know, I walk around with a tape recorder in my pocket, you know.
Sure.
I just want to share my part of this because, you know, we were talking about this, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we all went to Egypt? We had no idea about when. We thought it was going to be like that autumn, you know, and, you know, all this stuff has happened to us. You know, we've all kind of run out of money and had some pretty difficult times, but we're still broadcasting because we still own our computers and stuff like that. But we've got this, and here we are, you know, we're speaking on a show that is called Journeys, right? So, you started it because it was Journeys with Rebecca, and then suddenly you bring me into it, and it's absolutely, it feels great. It feels just right. And I want to share this little part, which was about January 2011. I have a friend in California, and I was in a conversation one night with Dave Corso and this other woman, and we were just saying, you know, let's play with this manifestation, you know, we did the Abraham Hicks thing, and we were just saying, you know, wouldn't it be great? Let's manifest this. Let's manifest a journey to Egypt. So let's hold hands and jump for joy in our vision so that we know where we are. Let's do it by the paws of the Sphinx. So, you know, to
which picture... one now? sorry, I had to draw that in. Sorry, my bad.
So, this is, and here's the thing, you know, that, we had this, this kind of idea, and Dave is a witness to this, of us picturing ourselves jumping for joy between the paws of the Sphinx in Egypt, right? So, That's where we left it, and I just watched in my life. Now, very shortly after that, as I said, I had no money. I didn't have a passport, and very shortly after that, I came across some money that I had that was sequestered, that was released, and that manifested for me. I thought, right, I'll buy a passport, you know, because you have to have all the photographs, and it costs you nearly £100. So, I now have a passport. That's enabled me to go, go around and get into the Air Force base where I rehearse with my band. We've got some Air Force members, so it's been very handy to have a passport. And then, so we have all these little pieces, and then there was the other one, which was that, and I don't know if William Henry's going to be on this trip, but. That he does these trips regularly to Egypt, and I just tuned in, and this other person has a connection with William Henry, and I told you, yeah, you won't believe this, what I just heard. And I was listening to Whitley Strieber, right? I thought, I'll listen to Whitley Strieber. And Whitley Strieber has William Henry on his station. And then in the middle of Henry's show, he comes on and he's got this promotional jingle that talks about, yes, come to Egypt and we will stand between the paws of the Sphinx. And my God, how I was triggered there. You know, that, you know, that was just another sign. And one more sign was that many years ago, I don't even know how I came across it, but I've got this piece of papyrus. You know, you get it from tourists. You know, I go to Cyprus. And there's a little Egyptian shop, and, you know, there's a little a stall, and they've got these little papyruses and little sphinxes and all these little things that you can get. Very, you know, just tacky. What's happening to my mic? Tacky kind of touristy things. Anyway, so I've got one of these papyri, and it's got the Sphinx, and behind it are three pyramids, and behind that is the sun. What's interesting, actually, and astute listeners will make a note of this, is that on this little papyrus, the middle pyramid has a gold capstone. Okay, right. So do pay attention to the show tonight, listen up, girls. So I've got this piece of papyrus, and I'm thinking, yeah, my friend who happens to be in California. Also has a papyrus, and she said, you won't believe this. It's just like, you know, my house is full of little cluttered items, you know, I'm really terrible like that. And it was just laying there dustily, and I picked it up, and I thought, I dusted it down, and I thought, I'll stick that up on the wall. So I put it on my Facebook page, and I photographed it and put it up on my Facebook page. You know, this is my manifestation for Egypt. And she said, you won't believe this. And she posted a photograph of what she's got up on her wall in a frame, because she's, you know, Californian and posh, you know. and blow me, it's the same image. So I've had a few connections with this. You know, with my son's godfather and with the whole Egyptian manifestation. So, thank you, Rebecca. Back to you.
I think that's beautiful. Now, that's a beautiful story. So, so as you're talking, here's some more dots for people to connect. You have this friend in California. We have people that, and I was just interviewed, by the way, yesterday by Roxy Lopez on Truth Denied. We were having a conversation about what happens when people say, you know, this whole December 21st, 2012 thing. Now, she wasn't specifically talking to me about Egypt, but we did bring that up briefly. But she was saying, you know, I've got people that are saying they're supposed to be here, and this is what they're supposed to be doing, and this person says they need to be here. What do you think about that? So here's what I think about that. If you are drawn to be at a certain place at a certain time, and it feels like it comes from the soul of who you are, and it feels just right, and it resonates with you, then just put that out there that this is where you need to be. And it will unfold if that is really where you're supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you have to take an active participation in that manifestation, but I do believe that this, you know, and people ask me for up until recently, well, what are you going to be doing? And I was thinking, well, probably sitting at my computer, right? And my hope against hope here is that this manifests itself, and so that I can find myself maybe sitting at the in between the paws of the Sphinx as well,
yeah,
or wherever I might happen to be, because from the visions and putting all of my own dots together about what my life means, as well as how it all intermingles with everybody else's life and how everybody else's life intermingles with mine. I mean, it's, you know, we're all in this together. I've said this before over and over again. And there are many of us who are connected. And just by being able to be where you feel like you need to be, on whatever date that is, if you think you need to go tomorrow, then that's what you need to do. Try to honor that. That means you're just listening to the internal self. You're listening to that higher mindedness, that higher self of you, that's trying to put, it's like an orchestration, so to speak, of it's an orchestration of energy and of connection. And with this, somehow we create this beautiful grid on this earth plane that really, really transitions and brings forth some new ideas, some new ways of creating a new world for all of us, a new paradigm. A new way of being. You know, I can't explain it any more than that. All I know is how I see it, how it feels to me, how it interacts. So it's important that we do honor that individually as well as collectively if we can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. What a speech.
So, you know, I get in these spaces and I'm just there. Mm. So I did want to also then just direct everyone's attention. And JP is going to go. Hopefully he's going to go. Hopefully we're going to get him there.
Well, you know.
He's on this trip. Right,
yeah. With just a minute.
All these beautiful people. Because it is going to be a mystical journey.
Mm.
And the information is on that, on my website, in the events page, the trip to Egypt. If any of you out there are listening and you're so called, please do register under my name, so we've got to kind of keep a track of who is coming for what reason, because it's also going to bring in some ideas of what all the speakers are going to be doing in order to meet I guess the needs, so to speak, or the desires of all of those who have decided to join in on this trip.
So
even though it's a collective trip, it's also an individual trip as well. So if you are so inclined to register, I don't think there's any money that needs to be exchanged at this point. If you would just go register underneath my name there, that would be beautiful. With the intention of this is where you need to be, let's see if we can't manifest this for everyone.
Well, I just had a thought while you were saying that. And, okay, I'm just going to put it out there, right? Because that's the thought, you know, let's just put it out there. So I thought, you may not want to go to Egypt. You may not like the hot countries, or, you know, or don't like going to Arab countries, or whatever. But Rebecca and I are completely penniless. So if anybody wishes to make a donation to support our journey there, who knows? I'll set up an account for it, and a donate button. How about that?
That would be beautiful. Beautiful. Are you kidding? See the inspiration that happens?
Yeah.
That would be just beautiful.
Sponsor us to go there, and we'll do the work and report back to you, and
or join us as well.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. Allowing it to
you have fall. To, you know, you can't, we can't rely on old methods anymore. We have to come up with new ones for every new apparent obstacle is an opportunity for us to create a new discovery of how we can operate. You know, okay, so I've got no money, but I do need to go somewhere. How do we do that? Well, I could ask people to sponsor me. You know, we can all do that. You know, what's wrong with that?
I would love it.
Excellent.
I would love it. Yes, let's do. And anything you need in my assistance, please let me know and I'll do what I can. Whatever you do, I can post the link up from my website and put it in the in my newsletter. And don't forget to sign up for my newsletter, folks. It does give you all the latest updates and events. I have a lot of people that are posting different events going on. I'm not necessarily a participant in them, but I do stand strong behind them. So that's also included in my newsletters. And it's free of charge. And so it's journeyswithrebecca.com. Just sign up for the free newsletter. I'd be happy to do that, JP, really.
Superb.
I would love to do that.
Superb.
This interview, I truly hope that, I didn't say much, really. He kept asking me, are you there?
Yeah, you're just away, and I was away. I was also chopping vegetables, but I mean, it was just fascinating. I mean, and he very detailed. Let's say he's very detailed about his stories, but they have humor and they have drama, and it's a great intrigue. What a wonderful journey we're on.
It was, and I was so sad we had to end it, but you had to come here, so.
Yeah, that's right.
I figured, well, we got plenty of time. 4 hours later, we're like, oh my gosh, we have to wrap this up.
That's right, and I think, you know, because I have to say, you know, we finished recording this interview about 10 minutes before we came on Revolution Radio just now.
Yeah.
So in a while, I'm going to go downstairs and have a very delicious meal, hopefully not with too much burnt taste. I think the cabbage took the brunt of that.
Oh, I love cabbage. But I hope not too for you.
But the my son, he hates greens. Anyway, it's been a fascinating 4 hours, 5 hours, the last hour, and I'm going to go for a walk in the garden and play with my stove. I built this rocket. Oh, there we go. I built a rocket stove last week. It's on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. Have a look at my rocket stove. All right, people, thank you very much. Do tune in to Wolf Spirit Radio tonight at 7 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. CST, 10 p.m. EST, and like 3 a.m. in Britain. We will be joining you then, and you'll hear the whole thing tonight. We'll also be on Revolution Radio on Friday. Join me on Sunday. I've got Gary the Numbers Guy, Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond. Good night.
Bye, everyone. Thank you, JP.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.